105, please, and let's stand. 105. Thank you for another day, Lord, that we can come here to your house to worship you. Thank you, Lord, for the Christmas season that we're going to be celebrating here, if you tarry. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to sing some of these songs, Lord. It means so much to me, and I hope everybody here today. Thank you, Lord, for getting my pastor back with us. He's here today, him and his wife both, Lord, for that matter. Thanks, Lord, for the good start we've had already today here in Sunday school, Lord, and now in our worship service. Guide and direct Pastor today, Lord. Give him the strength he needs for your message you've laid in his heart. May it speak to every person here today. If someone needs to get right, Lord, I pray that person would do so before they leave today. Be with others, Lord, I know that are not here today that are ill or whatever's happened. Lord, I just pray that you'd get them back with us again soon. We just praying for a great day in your house, Lord. Want to honor and glorify your name in all that we do. Thank you for this time, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let me see. How about 107, please? 107. Just sing the first and the last verse.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply echo back their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
Sing the last.
See within a manger laid, Jesus, Lord of heaven and earth. Mary, Joseph, lend your aid with the Savior's birth. Oh,
you. See, tonight, our evening service is 6 o'clock. We have communion tonight after that. Personal evangelism is scheduled for the 3rd and the 17th. Also, we have men's Bible study. Iron Sharpened Iron is going to be here on the 3rd, 6:30. Women's Bible study, let's see, is also on the 3rd. Deadline, December 4th for the agenda items on our quarterly business meeting, which is going to be the 8th. Baptismal membership class is the 8th at 4:30. Christmas open house at Pastor and Kim's home, December 14th, 6 to 8 o'clock there. Secret Sisters will be revealed in December. And then no services on December 25th and January 1st. And let's see. Pastor Stoffel, if you're a facing spiritual winter, go to the sun for a warm-up. Hey, guys, you'll come forward. We'll take up the morning offering. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, again, for getting us here today, the great day that it is. Lord, so many, many things, Lord, you do for us. Many times, Lord, we forget. Get to give you just a little bit of thanks. But thank you, Lord, for all that you do. Thank you for just being there for us, Lord. We're going to take up an offer now, Lord. I just ask you to be with the gift and the givers to do so. Be with the pastor he's about to speak. Just be with us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. See, just two songs a day, okay. See, Patsy, Zelpha, and Kay are going to come up here now.
Morning. Greetings to one and all.
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Another beautiful day God's given us. Yes, young folks, you may go down at this time. Maybe it seems like everyone got all thanked out this past week. Seems like there's a noticeable lack of people out today. But I trust you did have a good day of Thanksgiving. And that, again, it reinvigorated the idea and the needfulness of Thanksgiving in our lives. Trust you had a good little respite this week in the past. And thank you, ladies, for that number, Silent Night, as we now begin to focus on the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ as the babe in the manger of Bethlehem, now for a few weeks. Again, what he did out of love and out of his Father's love for humanity. Trust today that you know him as your Savior and Lord, and that you are excited today about your walk with him in the faith. A few little things that I want to mention. Again, tonight we do have communion. Lonnie has mentioned that. But also, next Sunday evening is a business meeting, a quarterly business meeting. And there should have been some... I'm coming up short on the word here. Policies that were on the back table. Did anyone happen to get those this morning? Or has anyone seen them? Okay, I was told they had been put out, but this is very important, folks, that those of you that are members here at Fruitland, that you review these policies, because there will be a vote either up or down on them as a package, okay? So you will need to have an informed decision for next Sunday evening. Hopefully those will be out here on the table yet today. There will not be enough printed for everyone to take. You'll want to just look at them here. Or maybe take one at a time, because that's a lot of paper to have to go through to print one for every member here at Fruitland. But those will be available from now through the end of the week and before the meeting next Sunday. And also, as Lonnie mentioned, a baptismal membership class at 4:30 this coming Sunday afternoon. Yes. Not today, but next week. So anyway, with those little details of housekeeping done, we'll move forward today. But our message title this morning is, Have You Checked the Woodpile Before Winter? So we'll see what God has in store on this morning. But before we go any further, we're going to take just a little bit of time here to adjust ourselves right now, to go into a mode of worship and putting the Lord Jesus in priority this morning in our lives and our growth and walk with him today in our heartfelt worship that we have here this morning. So with that said, bring your cares before the Lord. Let him know how much you love him. We sang this morning, O come all ye faithful, come let us adore him, Christ the Lord. So may we show right now our thanksgiving and love toward the Lord in a moment of silent prayer, and I'll go on from there with a short pastoral prayer. Shall we pray? Lord God, our Father in heaven, we give you thanks once again for this day of mercy and grace that you've bestowed upon us. It's a wonderful day, Lord. We love the crisp temperatures and, the transition in the seasons that bring us back to thinking about you, Lord. And may you be the preeminent person and thought in our minds this morning. You indeed are worthy of our worship, our adoration, our praise, our thanksgiving, all the accolades that man can bring to you, Lord. May that be the case now at this time, as we put away the things of life and yet now turn to a spiritual look into our own lives and, Lord, into the goodness that you have given to us this day. Now we thank you today, Lord, for all that are in attendance. And I pray today, Lord, that you would work in the hearts of those that you caused to come out this morning and that were interested in you and interested in a walk and growth in you, Lord. I pray that that will be affected today, that we will leave here challenged, that we'll either leave here today, Lord, convicted or comforted, and maybe some of each in our lives today at what is here for us to listen to and to consider, and that you'll work a dynamic work within us. Now, Lord, we also pray for those that are not here today. We have no idea in some situations what that may be, why that could be a cause today, but we know this, Lord, that the frailties of humanity come into play here, Lord, including our sin. But my prayer is that, once again, those that are not here today will be considering you during this time when we normally meet together. Lord, we pray for our community today. And Lord, for unsaved loved ones, whether it be in our families, in our circle of influence, wherever that may be, Lord, that we have an opportunity to bring forth the message that you have so abundantly loved mankind, that you came and gave your life, Lord, and paid our penalty in our place and rose again to guarantee us new life. I pray today now, Lord, as we consider not only personally, but in the life of Fruitland Baptist Church, some of these things that I'm going to bring forth today, Lord, that you'll speak to our hearts and that we will make responses to them today, Lord, whatever the case may be, wherever we may be at. And I thank you once again, Lord, for the gathering of the church. And Lord, may we be a steadfast group that is ready to endure, that, Lord, one day we will be recipients of the crowns that you have laid out for the believers. Lord, it's important. It's a scary thing. We will be held accountable, Lord, for what we have or have not done. And Lord, we thank you that our salvation is sure and certain no matter what. But we also know, Lord, that the things of you are serious things that we must consider. Now, Lord, help me as I bring this message forth. I'm the weak link in the chain. I struggle more than I ever have, Lord. I pray that this will be delivered from the heart and that the intended use and purpose of it will be fulfilled. And so I ask your help today and your presence and your blessing and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends in Christ, permit me to do something this morning I have never done in my time in the ministry. So this is a first for me. Before I reveal what that is, I want you to know that I have never copied a message from anyone else or anything from anyone else. I've never used sermon starters. I've never stolen messages from the internet. Everything that I have brought to you through the years has been home-built, and I have the records to prove it, good or bad. And some of you are going to say, well, you've had some clinkers, John, and you've had some that were better than clinkers. And I've often compared that, bringing forth messages, is kind of like being in a baseball game and hitting. And sometimes you strike out. Other times you may get a single or a double or a triple. And once in a great while, you'll get a home run. But it's my goal always to bring you the Word of God. And maybe not with all the trappings and eloquent accounts of everything else, but to stay grounded in the Word of God, because then we know we're never going to be on the wrong track. The other thing that I have never done, which I'm going to do today, is to re-preach an old message. Now, that doesn't mean that I haven't, at times, preached on the same text from the Scriptures. I've done that many times. But never do I go back into the files and pull a message and just use that. I prepare something that's fresh every time. I'm not asking you for accolades on that. I just do believe, though, that this is so important that what we serve is fresh. Fresh food needs to be there. I need to be sharp in the study of the Word. I need to be doing things always to exercise my faith and to receive again what God would have me to speak about. So even though I do preach on the same text, you know, I rework it from scratch, fresh, every time. But there may be similar illustrations that come out, and I often go to Kay and say, have I repeated myself over the years with some of the illustrations? And no doubt I have. I know I have. It is not wrong, though, to re-preach texts, because I think it's really right. Sometimes God's will is that it be done, that we get the message. And I believe this, there's still things in my life I don't get yet, like I should, the magnitude of it. So I re-preach things to myself as well. Well, this morning I intend to preach an old message over with some embellishments from nearly 22 years ago. It was my first message after the Christmas season messages before the coming new year of 2004. Yes, last Sunday would have been the completion of 21 years. Today I'm in the 22nd year of being pastor of this place. Can you even believe it? Well, I can't either. I can't either. So I'm starting on year 22 and I'm evaluating my wood pile. By the way, how many of you in here burn wood or have ever burned wood? I know a few of you do. We used to. Yeah. And I'll tell you, when you go through a few days like we've experienced here with the wind and the cold lately, it makes you begin to think, if your wood pile is not full, that it's time that you get to go in and cut some wood, right? That's right, because when we have high winds and cold temperatures, the wood pile diminishes rapidly. And we know also that winter is coming. Now, I believe it's still 2 weeks before we're formally in winter.
But let me tell you, folks, it is coming, and we will need the heat. We've had a little wake-up call here in the last few days. Anyway, I am evaluating my wood pile constantly, and I am also looking at winter. And what I mean by that is old age. And, you know, the years creep up on you. And I know since I've had this accident, there's been a lot of changes in my life. And I have come to realize that I am much less robust than I once was in my life. Winter's coming, and I need to evaluate my spiritual woodpile before the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyway, I hope that that is something also that you consider often. And to share an evaluation with you today as well, and hopefully you folks that are younger or even some that are older will also do the same, to examine where your woodpile is at as winter approaches. And don't worry, we will have messages on the birth of Christ. I know that that is the season. And there are several requested messages that are to follow also that I've retrieved out of the box or from you personally. But hopefully today we will be able to grasp and examine our woodpile and see that woodpile continue to grow. So at this time, I'm going to go back to a message that I preached 22 years ago. And yes, I still have it. I prayed this morning about 4 o'clock that Gene Rock would be here today. Because the message for today came from the message I used on that Sunday when I preached this in 2003. And the title that day was, Leave the Woodpile a Little Higher Than You Found It. Gene, you remember a man that we dearly loved at Calvary named Laverne Barton and his wife, Ann. I was glad you're here today, Gene. Laverne was a school teacher over in Lone Tree. He loved the Lord. He wrote a column, The Old Woodcutter, in the paper in Lone Tree for years. But this was one of his taglines. Do you remember this, Gene? Kim, you remember it? Leave the woodpile a little higher than you found it. And that was my goal when I came down here to Fruitland, when God sent me here, is that I would leave the woodpile higher than what I found it. And no, don't anyone panic. I'm not leaving today, but I am going to tell you some things that we need to prepare with our woodpile, personally and as a church. But Laverne Barton inspired that message and what he had taught over those years and what he wrote in the paper. And I believe, again, this is a time of year to evaluate where we're at. It's always a good time of the year to evaluate where you're at with the Lord. But it's always appropriate as we see a year or an anniversary or some specific date and time, maybe a wedding anniversary, whatever the case may be, that you say, where have I been? Where am I headed? And really take stock of that. I was talking with someone the other day. I just mentioned, you know, how important solitude is. Now, I did have some of that during my injury and so forth, more than normal. And I appreciated that because it does give us a time to really search our souls and to search our walk with God. But I encourage all of us here today, find some time, big time, that you can get alone with God and really evaluate where you're at. And that goes also for the leadership here at Fruitland Baptist Church. We must evaluate where we are at as a church and to understand where our wood pile is. If we need it filled more, which we know we never have enough wood, but is it empty? Is it on reserve? Is it near to running out? We need to evaluate those types of things. So where am I at in my walk? Is the pile higher or lower today than it was yesterday or in the recent past? And these are valid questions. So check the wood pile. Now, just to check this out on everyone here this morning, how big is a cord of wood? A cord of wood is 4 by 4 by 8, and that's 128 cubic feet squared. So that's what a stack of wood is. Many of you know what it takes to go through a winter and how much wood it will take. But Lonnie's sitting there going through the motions, haven't you, Lonnie? But, you know, you have to plan for things like this. Wood piles just do not magically appear. They have to start somewhere. They have to have a concept that we know a little bit about what a cord is. How many cords do you go through in a winter, Lonnie? Probably 5 at least?
Yeah.
5 cords. That's a lot of wood. It is. We need to plan for it, where we're going to harvest it, how we're going to go through the mechanics of getting it accomplished, where we're going to stack it for ease once again to get it into where it's burned or where it's outside, if you have an outside furnace, whatever the case may be. There's a lot of things that are valid when it comes to our wood piles and how we handle that. So I'd like you to turn in the scriptures this morning to Philippians 3, 10 through 16, and I want to quickly evaluate a few things that the Apostle Paul wrote about this. Paul, again, had to begin to build a spiritual woodpile, and can you tell me where that all started with him? Well, I'll say this, it started long before the road to Damascus, because God was training Paul, he was equipping Paul. His name was Saul before he was saved there on the road to Damascus. But Paul was being prepped by God for what God wanted him to do and how his woodpile was to be stacked, okay, and how it was to be put together. And so while the woodpile technically began as Paul as a believer on the road to Damascus when he was saved there, when he saw the light literally, the foundation for that woodpile had already been set by God, but it had not been by Paul. He didn't realize that these things, until he was saved, had a bearing that he had gone through previously in his life. By the way, it's interesting, Paul even killed Christians. The first martyr in the Bible, we've been studying about the crowns. That there's five crowns the scriptures mention in our Inquisitors class that are given at the judgment seat of Christ. And yes, Christians, we will go through judgment. Not for our entrance into heaven or about our salvation, but what you and I have done for Jesus Christ. And these crowns are not for us to be worn. I mentioned this morning I knew a man that used to wear a Burger King crown and walked up and down Park Avenue years ago when I hauled grain, and I got a chuckle out of that a little bit. But the fact of the matter is, many of us want to wear our own crown and we want to toot our own horn, but Christians, we are to live for the Lord. Our woodpile needs to be built for him, because when we receive a crown for some of the things we have done, if that is the case, they're not for us to glory in, they're to give back to Jesus. So they're not for glory, but for giving back to the Savior who allowed and enabled us to be able to do those things for him. So this morning, the first point of this message that I preached 22 years ago are the steps to build or rebuild a spiritual woodpile. And again, we know that wood piles are not built in one fell swoop. They require continuous work. They're cut one stick at a time. Wood is cut, harvested, split, one stick at a time. And so the place to start on a wood pile, first of all, is do you know Jesus Christ? And John 3:16 is a core verse there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only unique begotten Son, the God-man, that whosoever believeth or places their trust in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. So like I mentioned with Paul on the road to Damascus, if you have experienced that in your life and you've been saved by Jesus and you called upon his name and believed that he died for you a sinner and rose again, that's the beginning of your woodpile, but it's just the beginning. And there's a lot more that is in front of us again that we need to get accomplished for Jesus. So that's the first thing. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? And then the second thing, as I mentioned, you got to cut wood, you got to split wood, you got to stack wood to get the pile built. And that's the question I have for you in the second part here. Are you walking with him today? Because that's how the spiritual wood pile is built. I admit to you, in my life, I am not always walking with him as I should. I'm a rebellious person at times, and I don't want to do it the way Jesus wants it done. But I know and I acknowledge to him my weaknesses and faults, and I think we all can admit that this morning, that we need to be walking with him to see the pile built. Amen. So that's the first challenge that we have today. It's a cooperative effort, just as it is using Lonnie as the example here. Lonnie didn't grow those trees to harvest. He's harvesting something that God put there. And he's using what God has given him, and that's kind of the way it is with salvation. You know, we didn't create salvation. God gave salvation through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We work with the things that God gives us. I ask you today, and I ask myself, am I working with the blessings that God has given us? Okay? When we consider the wood situation, there are innumerable trees that can be harvested. Let me tell you something, folks, we're not going to run out of wood very soon. Look around you a little bit. The brush and the wood, even though it may not be desirable like a hardwood for burning, is out there to be harvested. And God has given those things to us in our lives. He's given us the spiritual examples in the Word, and we're going to look at some of those this morning. So here's where Paul was at. Paul had a high wood pile as he worked through Scripture. I believe that. He was a man who worked close with God. But I also believe that Paul never believed that he had arrived. He never said, I've got enough wood for winter. I need to be what? Proactive and have more. Do more. Not stop and rest on my laurels. So the first thing that I want to find in our study this morning, did I say Philippians 3, 10 through 16? I think I did. Anyway, here's what Paul wanted to experience in Christ as we read Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. Well, 3, 10, and 11 for sure. And here's what Paul wrote. He said, this is his desire, okay, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul was looking forward. He wanted in his life, he had a deep desire to know Jesus better. He had a deep desire to experience the resurrection. Paul stood in awe of the resurrection. Do you stand in awe of what God has done for you through Jesus Christ, and do I? We don't fully grasp, I believe, in our human thinking, again, all the fullness of what God has provided for us and the depths of it, my friends. I believe that we, like Paul, should want to experience the power and the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ and look forward to the resurrection unto new life, unto the passing from where we're at. We go on to read down here. Paul explains himself further. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect or complete, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. Brethren, I count myself not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Christians, I want to assure us today there are great things ahead, both on this side of eternity and in eternity for the believer. I believe that with all my heart. Now, did I say there will not be rough times ahead for Christians? Well, I don't predict that. God knows that. You can read the signs of the times for yourself. But I know this, that the blessings of God will still be there in the future for us on this side of eternity or on the other side of the eternity. Friends, are you looking forward to that today? Are you increasing that wood pile, again, preparing for that time when we will not be able to cut wood again? Folks, it's important today to get our thinking straight about this. Paul goes on, he says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That idea there is what? Paul says, my goal and my ambition is to build the woodpile through what God has called me to do on this side of eternity. Let us therefore, he says, as many as be complete, be thus minded. He's talking there about the completeness of our salvation. Okay? He says, let us think this way, and if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. He revealed these things to me as I looked over this message again, as I was led to preach this. Hopefully he's doing that to all of us here today as we think about these things that Paul wrote. Where am I at? Where's my wood pile? Winter's coming for all of us. It's time to cut wood. See? God has given us a purpose, and a purpose that is to be fulfilled. Paul says in 16, he says, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Paul says, it doesn't matter where your wood pile's at today, it needs to be higher. Paul realized that the pile building was never done. And he also realized, too, that we make mistakes. And sometimes we let our guard down. Sometimes we stop cutting wood and stacking wood. And Paul is encouraging us here in this to continue to focus on that wood pile. Paul also focused on seeing how good the pile could be in the future, as I just illustrated to you here. How high it might be versus how low it may be today, as we saw in verses 13 and 14. And so I believe this discourse that Paul wrote there in Philippians 3, 10 through 16 leaves us with this as we consider what he wrote. Make it a goal to leave one extra stick on that pile every day. Going back to what Laverne Barton said, Is the wood pile higher today than when you found it? The second point in this message this morning is that we need to realize that we are not the only ones that have faced the challenges that we face. And do we face challenges today? Yes. But folks, I'm going to say the challenges that we face are nothing like some of our ancestors faced. And I'm talking in the spiritual sense, but also in the economic sense as well. Folks, people have never had it in some ways easier than they've had it today. And we in the Western culture take much for granted. I don't know what you did at your Thanksgiving time. I'm not going to reveal all that I did, but I'm very much aware that I am an unthankful person more than I am a thankful person. I don't know what God has revealed to you, but we take for granted so many things, folks, that we have at our disposal. And I'm not even talking about materialistic things here, folks. I'm talking about the spiritual things. We negate to, again, fully utilize the powers and the good things that God has given us. We're not thankful, truly, for those things in a way that we should be. But we are not the only ones that will face a challenge. Many faced worse challenges than we will ever face. Please turn or go in your device to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And let me just say this. If you're thinking about your wood pile this morning, there's a lot of good examples on how to make the pile. Now, when I had a wood pile, I didn't get all excited about having it stacked just a certain way. Maybe Lonnie does or others of you that have burned wood. But you know what? Likely, there are some examples of piles that you can build and how they dry the best. Lonnie, are you still a year or two ahead of where you burn? Or
sometimes I'm right.
Ooh. Well, that didn't work with my example. Technically, if you burn wood, you should be about two seasons ahead of where you're burning with your cutting and stacking. You ever think about that? The reason is it's because of curing. Your wood needs to be cured and dry to burn the most efficiently and effectively. And we could place that in a spiritual principle as well. You know, we need to be looking ahead. We need to be examining the construction of the pile and all the things that go with it that we're prepared in advance for things as well. I believe, again, in our current situation, and always for that matter, people are kind of living from hand to mouth. What do you think about that?
Right.
Yeah, well, folks, that doesn't always work with wood. I've burned green wood before. By the way, it's a good precursor to a chimney fire. With the creosote and everything that's in it. But folks, the other thing is it just doesn't produce much heat. And it doesn't produce much efficiency. You'll have a hard time getting it to burn. Maybe there's people today, and I can't negate in my life at times that I've been in that case. I'm living from hand to mouth, rather than on the reserves in preparation for what the Lord has bestowed upon us. Very important to consider that. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, it could have been Paul, but the writer says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher or perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." See, folks, if you read Hebrews chapter 11, we looked into that not long ago here a little bit, you're going to find a lot of other people that have gone before us that have been through the mill. And folks, there's a lot of encouragement there, because you know what this is compared to here is those people, as they're at home in heaven, they know what they went through, and they're cheering on those, again, that are following in those footsteps. I ask us, though, are we in a mode in our lives today where we're in that side of the crowd, that we're encouragers, or are we still in a mode where we need to be encouraged? Well, I think we're always in a mode where we need encouragement, but have you designed your wood pile to be an encouragement to others that are coming along in the faith behind you? Well, Hebrews chapter 11 gives us a synopsis of that. One of the first ones there is Rahab. Rahab is a person that had no wood pile. She was not a part of Israel. But you know what? She came to find out through the witness of Joshua and Caleb and the other Israelites, she found the God of the Bible and found salvation in him by faith. See? Rahab's woodpile started there. And, of course, we know now we're thinking about the birth of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ in his humanity has a tie to Rahab. You can read that account that's found in Scripture. The biblical characters, the personal characters, mentioning Laverne Barton. I'm not here. He's long gone with the Lord. But the point is, he had some good thoughts about this kind of stuff. There have been people through the years in my life that showed me how to build a woodpile. The question is, have I followed in their footsteps? And what have I done with those things that I've been given? The personal characters. The writer here in Hebrews, again, and what I want to say about that is many of those people from the Great Hall of Faith had no woodpiles or a low woodpile, but God worked and their woodpile was built through what they did. The third little subpoint here today that's found in that verse 2, in verse 1 of Hebrews 12:1, is just simply this. We need to lay aside the weights of sin. Now, I was talking with someone a while back. We used to have McCulloch chainsaws back in the old days. We always bought them from Lamprey-Awald's here in Muscatine, which was on 2nd Street, right by Orange Street, where the Huttig plant used to be. It's the Hahn headquarters now. But back in the old days, we had chainsaws that were about that long, and the engines on them were about that wide. And the thing that I did not like about those saws was you never knew if you could get the stupid things to run. They usually started pretty good when they were cold, but when they were hot, you might be out on a job cutting wood and the next thing you'd like to do is give the thing a throw. Nominally, we have a lot better chainsaws today, but the thing I also disliked about those old McCulloch, or you could use Home Light or any other brand, it was all the same. They really required a man to be like a grizzly bear to run them very long. Because any of you remember, they were heavy. And I mean, if you were in shape, you could take it, but I'm telling you, they were hard to hold and they were hard to handle. And here's what I'm saying today. Get efficient. Buy a new saw that's lightweight, that starts when it needs to. Do you understand what I mean? Don't keep in the old ruts, but find new ways to do things that are more efficient. Kim, why are you giving me a dirty... Yeah, here, John, you're the guy telling this, and you're stuck in your ruts, but... We need to examine this. That's sin, folks, when we look to the past or we do things inefficiently and wrongly. We need to use that light chainsaw to improve productivity. Just like the writer here in Hebrews analogy of the runner getting off the weights. You've got to be efficient in your run. We need to do that to build the woodpile. Laziness, lack of being in shape, which I'm in the spiritual sense is a lack of study. Okay? A lack of prayer, doubt, procrastinating, the love or the lust of the world versus the things of Christ, the fear of others, peer pressure, and of course, don't negate this one that's trotted out many times, the fear of failure, and a whole list ad infinitum of why people don't get out and cut wood. Folks, if that hits home today, realize this, you have one day less to work on this than you did yesterday. Time that we take this very seriously. Winter's coming. Now I'm going to turn the page here. And yes, we're close to being finished. The fourth point is we have to have patience to be able to endure as we build the wood pile. I mentioned earlier that the pile is built one stick at a time. Can you and I honestly say that we build that wood pile at least one stick at a time every day? You don't have to tell me, but I can come clean with you and with God, and I'm saying I don't. I don't get that accomplished every day, to my disgrace. But we need to build that woodpile higher each day. Not doing it once in a great while in a big way, but take time to get the good wood. And again, to learn the Word of God in the same way we build the pile. Which is line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. Isaiah 28, 10 through 13 show that very illustration. We've got to work at it all the time, maybe a lot sometimes, but we need to have a goal to work at it every day some. Okay? And that's how we will, again, be able to see that woodpile built effectively. Again, as the writer of Hebrews said, looking to Jesus, the master builder, the one who knows our struggles and helps us to build the woodpile. Jesus' kingdom is built the same way, one person, one soul at a time. And we need to be engaged in that as well. Fifth point today, last point, train ourselves to be godly. We got to train ourselves to be a woodpile builders. I'd like us to go to 1 Timothy 4, 7 through 8. 1 Timothy 4, 7 through 8. And I'm headed in the wrong direction here. 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. Paul writes here to the young protege Timothy, he says, but refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. All of us are exercising, but many of us are not exercising with the right type of exercises. Okay? And Paul tells us this. He says, don't waste your time on the wrong things because time is short. He says, exercise thyself rather unto godliness, Pastor John. Don't be consumed about other things in the flesh, but be consumed about the things of the Spirit, about the spiritual woodpile. And then notice here what Paul writes. He says, for bodily exercise profiteth little, or you could say it this way, the exercises we do bodily are profitable, but they're not very profitable. Folks, I could be in perfect shape, but I'm still declining, I'm still deteriorating. There's a little profit. Yes, we want to be healthy. But what Paul's going to tell us here, he says we need to be focusing on the spiritual exercises which have promise of the life that now is and of that of which is to come. It's a refocusing on our efforts as we consider our woodpile this morning. It's not just going through the motions, but it has to be going through the godly motions. Headed toward Him, to filling the woodpile for Him. And folks, we'll find this, it's even better than a physical workout. And a physical workout is good for us when we sweat, when we really get put to the test as to what we can do. And I believe this with all my heart. There's not one person in this room that can't do more spiritually today. We can be stretched and we can be grown. Now also, Philippians chapter 2, 12 through 16. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 16. Paul's writings here further on this very subject. And by the way, what I have written here in my margin is, the point 4 was plan the pile. Point 5 is stack the wood. So that's the phase we're in here right now. But verses 12 through 16 of Philippians chapter 2. Wherefore, Paul writes, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. No, this does not teach salvation by works. It teaches that we live out our salvation in a serious way with fear and trembling. How many of us today put that as a priority in our lives? See, I think we would all say we're probably deficient in those areas. We're not building the woodpile the right way. He says, work it out, because it's very important, with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Folks, when we get to winter and the wood pile's not there, or it's low, you're not going to be able to catch it up. Today's the day to plan ahead, and to be convicted, and to evaluate where you and I stand in these things. I don't know why people might not be here today. There's all kinds of legitimate reasons, but there's also illegitimate reasons. But the church attendance is the least of all that. It's what's done in all the other times of the week with our time. This is like the capping of the wood pile. I know enough about proper wood piles. You should design a wood pile like you do a shock of grain, so it sheds the weather. Lonnie, I don't know if any of the rest of you have ever thought about that, but you always want to design it so you have dry wood. Of course, you want to get wood in ahead and so forth, but there's things we need to do, see, and we are not thinking in that mode as we should be, I think, many times. What Paul's saying is, flesh out your salvation. And know this, what 1 Corinthians 15:58 say, that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Nothing you do for the Lord Jesus Christ is a waste of time. Most of what you do in the flesh is a waste of time. Because it's going to burn. It's going to cause you trouble. Kim and I are evaluating this in our life right now. The more stuff you have, we need to become minimalist, and we're struggling with that. But the more stuff you have, the more trouble you're going to have. Make sure that your wood pile is building, that we're not building the other things that humanity and that the flesh value. Pastor John, Kim, give me an amen on that. But you know what? Sadly today, folks, many don't want to work at anything except sin. Isn't that the truth? There is a point six, and I'm just going to illustrate it briefly and close, but it's based in John chapter 15. You don't need to turn there unless you want to. But the last thing of all this, when you're building the wood pile, we need to abide in Christ. I'm going to sneeze, I think. Excuse me. One more and I go home early. But building the wood pile is a team effort. Never forget that. If you've cut wood on your own and split wood and stacked wood and handled it, it can be rewarding. It can be a good thing. And I'm not saying our biblical faith isn't a good thing alone. It is, and that's primarily. But I know this from experiencing this, and Lonnie or whoever else has done wood here, isn't it nice when you have other people along to help? Yeah. Huh? Because yeah. What happens when you're alone? You get bogged down. The stack of wood, the cutting, it all, it seems like what? A big job. But if we work together, and that's what the church is designed for, that we help each other, that we're involved stacking each other's wood piles. See, it makes things much easier. And that's what John 15 is about. It's about the vine and the branches. And essentially what Jesus said, apart from me, you can accomplish. See, but it's an interconnectivity, not only with the Lord, but with one another as fellowship recipients of Jesus Christ. It's important. If you need help with your wood pile, call me. I'm not in the best of condition. But at least I can encourage you. I can help load a few sticks, you know, or give you a pointer. And if I need help, see, it's the same thing. It's reciprocatory. That's how things will change. That's the message of John 15. Are you connected to the vine? And are you connected to the community, again, of fellow believers in Christ? Well, the last thing we do, let's turn to John 15 really quickly. Because I want to focus on verse 11. And I think there's a lot of this missing today. I know it's missing in my life a lot. Kim will testify to that. Do you ever feel like that sometimes, that thing, you just don't see the joy in things that you used to? Is that aging or is it just the spirit of our days? I think it is, Lonnie. I do. I got to get to John 15, not 14. It's okay to laugh. I found out recently that after I'd been in the hay rake accident down here, one of my children, after they found I was okay, had to laugh about all of it. And I have too, in the sense that, yeah, that's just another step of the old man, you know, craziness. Jesus said this in verse 11, "These things have I spoken unto you," about what I just briefly mentioned here, "that my joy might remain in you and that..." If you're in that mode this year, get going on stacking the wood pile. Our goal is to grow the wood pile a stick at a time. I wrote here in this message, it's my goal to be out in the community and to knock on every door in the first year. And then I said, let's build the pile together. Where are you and I today? Now for the evaluation. That's the old message. You don't believe me that I save all this stuff? This is the first time I re-preached a message. So where is my wood pile today? And what about yours? Well, I believe my pile is higher than when I started in all ways, whether personally or even in the ministry here at Fruitland Baptist Church. But let's face it, folks, it needs to be what? It needs to be higher because winter's coming. In my case, the issues that Kim and I have with health and different things, we know that our days, we all know our days are numbered, but we know that they may be numbered. And that our time to get things done is rapidly being challenged. Anyway, what do we do? We know the wood pile's not high enough at Fruitland because winter is coming. And so what I'm really saying today after 22 years is I now need more of your help to fill the wood pile. You understand what I'm saying? I was a young guy when I started here. I'm still young. But there's been a lot of water has flown under the bridge of life. And I'm not really young. But you folks have experienced the same thing. Think of the things that have happened here over the years in our lives and the people at Fruitland. I'm thinking this morning about empty seats. I'm thinking of people that used to sit here. The other day, Debbie Wheeler, when I was in the office, mentioned Myron Martz. Most of you would never even remember Myron. That's a long time ago. Some of you remember him? Very few. I'm thinking about people, and Judy's not here this morning, but I'm thinking about Kathy's grandma, you know, that was here, and Bertha with the magnifying glass. And I think about Herb Howard. Herb was a veteran of World War II, and he didn't get too shook up about anything. He said, I think it'll all turn out all right. And I see others of our number that are rapidly approaching a day when they will not be here. And that could include me and Kim and many of other folks that are here associated with Fruitland Baptist Church. But I'm going to need help stacking the wood in the future. And much has been done, but there is much to do. Younger servants with vigor that I had when I started, they'll need to help with the pile and the cutting. The wood pile in my life needs to be higher, personally as well, for winter. While I still can cut and stack, even though maybe a bit slower than what it used to be. Fruitland's evaluation and plan for the winter wood pile must also be taken seriously, or we will run short of fuel for winter, and the coldness of death will creep in. And so what I'm basically illustrating today, I said, no, I'd love to serve here till the Lord takes me home. But I don't know that it will be in the capacity that I have in the past. And Fruitland must come to grips with the future and what this church will do. And I've been trying to introduce that for quite a while. And so again today, I believe that as leaders here or participants here at Fruitland, we need to be thinking about our wood pile and what's going to happen in the future. We can't know the perfect trajectory of the future, but we know this, that God does want us to make plans. And Fruitland must do these type of things at this juncture of its life. Fruitland's wood pile needs to be grown higher. It may take different things to see that happen effectively in the future. I've come to realize in life that sometimes antiquation isn't all that good. We don't see things. I learned this over Thanksgiving with my grandchildren. We don't see things the same way the younger generations do. And you can ask the younger ones here. There is a time we need to transition. But the goal is not to have the wood pile fall over, but to see it enhanced. Do you get what I'm saying? It's serious stuff, both personally and as a church. So here's how I conclude, roughly like I did 22 years ago. Let's work together that our joy may be full, no matter what happens, and the wood pile keeps growing as a team effort between God's people and the Savior. Evaluation and action will keep the wood pile higher than we found it, going back to Laverne Barton's tagline that he used to use. And with that, I say amen. But here's how I'm going to close today. Maybe there's someone here that needs to start the wood pile. Maybe you need to be saved. There might be others here that can admit to the Lord today that they need to grow the pile with vigor. Sanctification and service. And I'm in that mode. I don't think we're ever done till we can't do it anymore. Okay? And that might be a large amount of us here today. But others may also need to realize that the pile is depleted dangerously. It may be backslidden, and we need to get back to work at rebuilding the pile. Others today may need help. May need help in their building for various reasons. Don't kid yourself, folks. There's a lot of people that are struggling today. A lot of people are struggling with weaknesses and with challenges of the society and the culture that we live in today. But also, we have a significant number here at Fruitland that are beginning to struggle with age and infirmity, that cannot be involved like they once were. Whatever there is today in your life or in mine, won't you come to Jesus today for help? Let's get the wood pile on the grow. Come to him today. You don't have to come forward, but I'll tell you what, there's help here. There's help through him and there's help through us. Again, when we work together to grow the wood pile. That's my second amen, and that really means amen. So let's take our hymnals and stand, if you're able. 101. Do you know Jesus as your friend today, but most importantly, do you know him as your Savior? And are you engaged with him in the building of the wood pile? Come today. Don't be afraid. Come and admit your wood pile's low. I have admitted it. You need to see it rebuilt. Jason's come forward. There might be others that want to as well. We can pray together before we leave, but we can also help each other and set our goals and our plans of what we need to do. I found a friend, oh, such a friend. He loved me ere I knew him. He drew me with the cords of love, and thus he bound me to him. And round my heart still closely twined those ties which naught can sever. For I am his and he is mine forever and forever. Can you say today that that is the place you're at with the Lord Jesus today? That he's not only your friend and your Savior, but that you are in close fellowship with him today. If you're not in that situation today, today's the day to step out. Today's the day to go to him before you even leave the building and set these things straight and be renewed with the vigor to continue building the wood pile. Stanza 4. I found a friend, oh, such a friend, so kind and true and tender, so wise a counsel for and guide, so mighty a defender. From him who loves me now so well, what power my soul can sever? Shall life or death, or earth or hell, know I am his forever. Doug Chatfield, would you dismiss us? Come up and see me here a minute. I'm going to sit with Jason a moment. Have a good day in the Lord. Hope to see you back this evening. If there are needs, be sure to let me know.